Legal battles are brewing over same-sex marriage in Arkansas. The attorneys behind the complaint say they are energized by the U.S. Supreme Court's decision striking down part of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, also known as the Windsor decision. They also point to other legal developments that have occurred since Arkansas's Amendment 83, defining marriage as between one man and one woman, was enacted in 2004. Content partner KUAR's Karen Trico-Stewart reports.
Two lawsuits have been filed this month regarding same-sex marriage. The first was by attorney Cheryl Maples and the second by attorney Jack Wagner. And while to most they seem to be two separate complaints, the attorneys behind them are consulting with one another on the cause. Maples points out she and Wagner are old law school buddies.
We go back a long way. We've got some things to figure out, but his heart's in the right place and I know mine is.
Our case was filed in federal court. Cheryl's was filed in state court. I just consider the input of a lot of different people about whether to file a separate federal court lawsuit or not, and we decided that's the way we needed to go.
Both attorneys want Arkansas's Amendment 83 declared unconstitutional, saying it violates equal protection and due process of law, and therefore is unfair to homosexual couples.
They are being discriminated against. They are having a fundamental right not being afforded them.
And Wagner points out the Constitution says no person can be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law.
That was one of the things with the recent Windsor decision, you know, is everybody's wondering whether the right to marry, to procreate, have family, implicate a liberty interest. And before they can say you can't do these things, there has to be a reason. And there's been debate whether the reason was going to have to be just a rational basis, which is almost any reason, or there was going to be some higher level of scrutiny applied to distinctions that singled out homosexual as opposed to heterosexual people.
John DePippa, Dean Emeritus and Professor of Law and Public Policy with the UALR Bowen School of Law, says that, indeed, one of the arguments embedded in marriage equality cases is whether or not gays and lesbians qualify for this higher level of scrutiny when laws affect them. But he notes even the lowest level of scrutiny has to give a reason beyond moral disapproval.
And that's been the problem that states have run into in trying to defend their bans on gay marriage. They've had trouble articulating a reason other than moral disapproval.
Two of the plaintiffs in Wagner's lawsuit are Tara and Becca Austin of Little Rock. They've been in a committed relationship for 9 years and had a wedding ceremony with friends and loved ones in 2005, but they want to legally marry to have the security and protections they say only a legal marriage can provide. The couple has 4-year-old twins. Tara is the biological mother, and that means Becca is left with concerns.
I have no legal rights to them as a guardian. So if something were to happen to Tara, I'd actually have to file a petition to adopt these babies that I've been a part of their life before they were even conceived.
They say they are private people, but want to tell their story so others understand where they are coming from.
This is kind of a chance for people in Arkansas to maybe get to know us, our family, see how awesome our kids are, you know, and just see how similar we are to most other families in Arkansas.
It was the conservative group, the Arkansas Family Council, that spearheaded the drive for Amendment 83. We wanted to talk to the lawyer behind the amendments, but we're told he doesn't do interviews because he works for a law firm and doesn't feel comfortable having the entire firm's name attached to the cause. But Family Council President Jerry Cox did speak with us. He says if the amendment were legally suspect, it wouldn't have gone unchallenged for nearly a decade. In November of 2004, the measure passed with 75% of the vote.
It not only passed in every county, it passed in almost every voting place in the state.
Cox explains that after his group got approval from then-Attorney General Mike Beebe to put the amendment on the ballot, the American Civil Liberties Union filed a lawsuit saying the measure was flawed.
The Arkansas Supreme Court then looked at that measure and ruled that it was sufficient for the ballot. Now, they didn't come out and say, we guarantee that this is constitutional. But if the measure had had serious flaws, I don't believe Mike Beebe would have certified it. And then I don't believe the Supreme Court would have allowed it to remain on the ballot.
But DePippa notes the review done on ballot measures doesn't look at the legal merits of the case, but rather focuses on whether people will understand what it is they are voting on. And he adds,
a lot has changed since 2004. The Arkansas Supreme Court has issued another opinion that seems strongly supportive of gay rights.
DePippa is referring to the 2006 decision saying the state cannot ban gays and lesbians from becoming foster parents.
The United States Supreme Court has issued at least one, the Windsor decision, that's strongly supportive of gay rights. So the legal landscape has changed. So even if in 2004 you could glean some measure of the Arkansas Supreme Court's notion that this was constitutional, things have changed enough that that really can't have much weight right now.
And this concept of a changing legal landscape is one that came up in the U.S. Supreme Court ruling. Justice Kennedy talked about an evolving understanding of equality. He noted people's ideas about gays and lesbians have been changing over the decade, to which Cox says,
if public opinion is evolving, then they should bring the measure before the voters.
And one group is trying to do just that. The Arkansas Initiative for Marriage Equality has submitted a proposed petition that would put a gay marriage ballot question before voters in 2016. The Attorney General has rejected the language of that measure, saying it was ambiguous in a number of places and would need to be reworked. But bringing these types of measures before voters raises another issue. To what extent should the majority be able to dictate to the minority?
What courts will do is ask, is there any reason the state has to pass this law? And if there's a reason, then we ought not to interfere with the will of the majority. And that's why it's so important for the state to justify the law other than moral disapproval. Because if all the state had to do was say, well, we can outlaw this practice because most of our people think it's a sin, then you really are using the tyranny of the majority to run over individual rights.
If the lawsuits end up making their way to the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals, DePippa notes it will be somewhat of an uphill battle, given legal precedent.
The Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals has already upheld a gay marriage ban coming out of Nebraska. So it's a harder case to win in the Eighth Circuit, just because you have to convince the Eighth Circuit Court of Appeals that they need to overturn their former decision. And that's never an easy thing to do.
So DePippa says the argument has to convince the courts the former decision was wrong in light of the new decision the U.S. Supreme Court issued in June.
Most legal scholars think that the federal case really does spell the beginning of the end for states like Arkansas and Amendment 83.
But DePippa predicts that at least the lower federal courts at the trial level will uphold Arkansas's Amendment 83 because of the Eighth Circuit precedent.
I'm not convinced that the Eighth Circuit is ready to change its mind yet. And I'm not convinced that Windsor is a slam dunk to overturn the Nebraska law. The Supreme Court of the United States likes to take cases when there's a split among the circuits. And so if I'm right about the Eighth Circuit upholding Amendment 83, I also think that there's other circuits that are going to strike down same-sex marriage amendments.
DePippa says then we'll see one federal circuit court going one way and the other going another way, and that this ultimately makes it more likely that the U.S. Supreme Court is going to take up the issue sooner rather than later. Karen Trico-Stewart, KUAR News.